Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed.
As always, this is the Listen Up Podcast. We were talking about it earlier, man. Click the subscribe button. If you haven't clicked the subscribe, go and do that. Tweet it out. Tell people to click it. You know what I mean? As the season gets started, we're gonna go into more and more episodes. Instagram, we're on Facebook, Twitter. You can find us just about everywhere, man. So definitely make sure you go ahead and hit that like button on this episode. Hit the subscribe button. There you go, man. Hashtag Dodge Coin and Bobby Battenfield, man. let's get it started though, man. But the new news that we've seen is looks like over the last couple of weeks, man, we've gotten a couple offensive linemen, the transfer from Notre Dame. And we also got one for the 2022 class, which is really shaping up to be something nice. Talk about the what it's looking like. They're kind of going through a rebound, Sam. Tell me a little bit about it.
What the hell? I'm sorry, you broke up. Yeah, he's definitely broke up.
Oh, but, okay, there you go.
Right. Yeah, you ready? Subscribe. What you said? What was the question?
No, I was saying, man, look like we got, you know, some offensive line transfer. We got a offensive line transfer from Notre Dame. We also had a we also had a 22 commit as well. So it looks like they're going through revamping this offensive line, man. Tell me a little bit about that.
So I looked at this, the O-line. I was looking at this, right? So I got we got Devontae Love Taylor, Dante Lucas, Maurice Smith, Bavion Jordan, Bavion Johnson. Robert Scott, Darius Washington, Brady Scott, Gibbons, and we got Rod Orr coming in. That's eight offensive linemen.
Yep.
All right, that's eight offensive linemen. That's three tackles. Okay. Yep. I would like to have one more tackle. I would like to have one more true tackle going into the season. But worst case scenario, you got eight college bodies that can play college football in the ACC. And we haven't had that shit in 6 years.
I would argue a couple of those, but five. You got at least six.
So Willie was here, what, 17?
Yeah.
So the year before Willie, that offensive line wasn't that bad, was it? The one with Kelly.
No, that one wasn't terrible.
Rick Leonard.
No, it wasn't terrible.
So 16 was the last good offensive line. Well, the last like average offensive line we had.
Right.
Yeah. So we haven't been this good since 16. This is probably the better offensive line we had in a while. And it's eight bodies. That's eight bodies. So
eight bodies.
So
you don't it may not be that much of a drop off
in the when one guy
when somebody get hurt. Yeah.
Right.
And that's really what we talked about. Yeah.
Yeah. And I looked at it, I was like, well, damn. So you with Rod Orr, Robert Scott, Darius Washington, and Devontae Love Taylor, that's four tackles, technically. Now you would like to have bigger guys at left tackle, you know what I'm saying? But I think you can get away with it in college. You did last year, you know what I'm saying? And you're deeper this year. And the dude Gibbon, I think they say he's a guard, but he's played some tackle, so he can swing out a little bit. And the good thing about
I think they may actually want him to play tackle if we're being honest.
The good thing about it though, to be honest with you, man, the good thing about it, I think, is that you can now practice a little bit better, I think.
Well, yeah, you can actually get some good on good. You know what I mean? Like we heard during the spring that when that second offensive line, you know, came in, you couldn't even get plays off. You know what I mean? You couldn't get plays off. They couldn't really get a good test of what was happening. You didn't get a real pass rush. Running backs weren't able to create holes. And we saw it really in the spring game. You know what I mean? Like that second unit, like at one point, you couldn't get plays off because, you know, defensive ends. And those would have been sacks in most situations, or just, you know, quarterback having to scramble and run out of it.
Yeah.
Like, was it Dylan Gibbons, man. I honestly, I'm confused. You know what I mean? Like, I'm confused by what happened with the timeline. Like, Notre Dame produces good linemen. And he was a lineman at Notre Dame who got reps playing behind a line where everybody got drafted.
Right.
I'm not sure I understand why you wouldn't want this guy to transfer. You know what I mean? Why you wouldn't take him? Like, I don't know if the guy can play or not. I mean, again, I don't know. Like, it's hard to judge linemen. It really is. What I can tell you is that if Notre Dame felt good enough to take him, I'm gonna trust Notre Dame's ability to recruit offensive linemen the same way I would trust Wisconsin. If you told me he was getting a transfer from Wisconsin, mm-hmm. I don't care what you say about it. Sign me up. Because you know what I mean? We know that Wisconsin produces good linemen. They put linemen in the NFL. They running backs all rush for 2,000-3,000 yards this season. You know what I mean? Like, they've had some of the best running backs run behind them who have never done very much in the NFL.
Right.
But in college, them dudes was winning Heisman. So I don't know, man. I'm not necessarily I'm definitely happy with the transfer.
Well, I think to push back on why people have a problem with it, I mean, Notre Dame has graduated a bunch of offensive linemen that's went to the NFL, mm-hmm. and he still felt like he didn't have a chance to play after all those graduations and stuff. Mm-hmm. I could see where that could be a problem, but I feel like at worst.
But what if it ain't about playing time?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, at worst, in my opinion, at worst, you still have a college ready body that can come in and contribute. At worst. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that was my thing. Like, again, he may not be great.
Right.
It definitely gotta be. Like, you need people. You need positions, you need somebody who has played. This kid is playing at a D1 level. I'm not gonna argue it. You know what I mean? Our best lineman was a transfer from 1AA. I don't guess I'm calling 1AA no more. It got with D2 or whatever it is. A D2 transfer. Like, this dude came from, you know what I mean? Like, this dude jumped in and immediately started.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm assuming that this transfer from Notre Dame is gonna come in and immediately start. That's just my opinion, because we've seen we know what we have at that position.
Yeah, somebody said the last scholarship can go to offensive tackle. If you can get an offensive tackle, take an offensive tackle. Personally, at first I was kind of like, man, they need to get a middle linebacker. You need a middle linebacker in the worst way. I was thinking this to myself. But I feel like if you could solidify your offense this year, where you got a good offense this year, next year when you fire the defensive coordinator halfway through the year, you can solidify your defense next year with transfers. Because quite frankly, I don't care what you put over there, bro. I just don't think that shit's going to work over there.
I'm not going to take the bait this time.
So why even throw the resources over there, bro? Like, why waste the scholarship over there, bro?
Yeah, don't even waste the scholarship
out there. We just saw some really good football players go fucking undrafted. So I'm just concerned. So anyway...
No, I'm with you on that.
I would definitely go offensive tackle.
I think with Parchment and what we saw from the young receivers in the spring game, Parchment's already talking, you know, like he feels great, he feels at home or whatever. So Parchment in here with the young receivers and you know, a better offensive line, I think the offense really can come around and be good and shit.
Yeah, and what's funny about the, you know, that's the thing about these comments from these players. I always find this shit hilarious. Because McKenzie Milton was like, this is the best staff he's been around. I'm like, McKenzie Milton, you haven't played one game for the staff.
Let's see how you feel after Notre Dame.
But it's like, it's that type of shit that turns me off, because I'd be like, yo, why we got to say all this stuff, man?
Because, it's all coach speaking.
Bro, you play for UCF and y'all like literally were undefeated to beat Auburn.
Mm-hmm. That happened.
It's pretty damn.
Y'all were what they call proclaimed national champions or whatever it is. Y'all they did for themselves.
I mean, I get we got to do the hyperbole. I get it, but you know, just relax.
It's all coach speak, man. I get it.
But it's just still good.
Like, put it like this: if they came out and said, I don't know. It's a little shady out here in Tallahassee.
But what you got to say is, I like this coach's staff. They remind me of the coach's staff I had when we went undefeated.
That'd be a lot too, though.
All you got to do is say they remind me. I get the same feel.
He don't get that feel.
Hey, but anyway,
something else I want to say
because of getting that dude Dylan Gibbons, and we got Rod Orr now. That's gonna be I feel pretty good that he's coming. I think that you can go really heavy with this recruiting class, just taking tackles. I would just take tackles because when I look on the other side at the other guys, developmental guys, we got Zane Heron, guard. Mm-hmm. Tommy Schrader, guard. Brian mm-hmm. Estes, guard.
Yeah.
I heard Lloyd Willis actually is like actually developing really well. I heard like they get a feeling like maybe by redshirt junior year, like he could actually push for playing time.
And that's what you want. That's what you want out of your development guys. Yeah, that's
right.
What you want.
So my thing is that's three guards, one tackle. So I would personally, I would go either two tackles coming in and one tackle grad transfer or one tackle grad transfer or whatever next year. So that's three tackles, or I would go three tackles. True freshmen, or what, you know what I'm saying? I would go tackle heavy. I would not be trying to reach for another guard because when you look at the list, Dante Lucas will come back next year. Darius Washington can play guard.
You think Dante Lucas making it through the season?
I think so. I think a lot of stuff has changed. I think the best thing that happened to Dante Lucas was probably getting a position coach like Atkins. I think Atkins does have those guys over there kind of buying in and making them feel the love. I think Dante Lucas is somebody that needs his shoulders rubbed and need to be told that he's good and stuff like that. But they also putting people around him that's going to push him. So that's a good thing too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that I think Dante Lucas can be an NFL football player. I believe that.
I think he has the talent. I do think he has the size.
I'm not saying he's going to be great.
I'm just wondering about his – I'm just – something mental. Ain't clicked yet. Yeah, his something ain't clicked with him. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, something has not clicked with him yet that has allowed him to get to that place. And I'm hoping it all comes together for him this year. He was forced into a position. You know what I mean? He was forced into a position. He had a lot of hype, and maybe it takes him a little while to kind of get used to it. So I'm hoping he finds his footing. He gets himself together. But that's the only thing I worry about. I mean, we've talked about it. I really like Dante Lucas. I want him to succeed, man. But it's like I said, I'm just looking at it, and I just don't know. I don't know if he's gonna actually be able to overcome everything that he's been dealing with. So that's the only thing I worry about with Dante Lucas.
And then if you think about it, you take Rod Orr, if you get mm-hmm. halfway through the season, let's say you get about game four-ish, mm-hmm. right. And if you want to move Rod Orr to the left tackle, Robert Scott keeps your right tackle position, and you want to move Darius Washington and Love Taylor in the inside with Maurice Smith, man, that could be a solid line. You can move those guys inside. Now you got a solid line, and then if somebody get hurt, you can always kick them guys back out. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you get about game four, game five, Rod Orr is ready to play by then. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then you got the other guy, Alu Ba, that's coming in next year.
Right.
So add two more tackles in this next recruiting class. I don't care how you do it. Add them by grad transfer. Add them by four-year guy, out of high school.
I think we trust Atkins to know that. Here's what I will say. You know, we've talked a lot about, who ain't doing what or whatever the case may be, and we've yet to see his name be called on a recruiting day. So we're gonna leave him alone for right now. Marv finally got off the board. I appreciate that.
Marv.
Didn't Coach Marv get a linebacker?
Hell nah.
I thought Marv got him a linebacker last week.
Hell nah. That boy went to Georgia Tech.
No, Marv got him something. Man, I just saw. Anyway, Marv got somebody, I thought.
Bro,
man,
believe it, bro. He ain't got nobody, bro. He got boots. They call him Coach Boots now because he's talking about his boots all the time.
Man, that man. Listen, all right. I'm not going off on Marv. Marv, I still believe him.
That's enough. We're going to do that another day. We're going to wait. We're going to do that another day.
Listen, I don't know. We're not touching
Marv this week, because when we touch on Marv, we got to go to Odell, so we got to hit both of those back to back. So,
all right,
we got time for it. We got a quick little time.
Listen, Marv posting pictures of shoes, closets, and stuff. If you don't get your ass out there and find you a goddamn linebacker and some. What you post them goddamn shoes one more time, and I'm gonna fire your ass up. Like I ain't gonna lie to you. I saw that picture. I don't know what he posted, maybe about a month ago, and I held on to it. And I was like, you know what? I ain't gonna say nothing. I'm gonna be cool because I like Marv, and I spared Marv because of it. But boy, if you don't get your behind out there and find you some doggone some position players, and the furniture still ain't. I mean, again, when would they move him to an off-field role? I mean,
yeah, I don't know when that's gonna happen.
Marvis Carlton changed my mind. Is what
I can't do it. Put. I can't change your mind right now.
I can't. I saw them pictures, and I got mad. I'm looking at this cat in his closet as if like, man, if you don't get your behind out there and recruit, you ain't showing us your closet. You ain't brought in no dog. Like at some point, man. Like I said, Marvis headed to a place with me where he gonna have an enemy with me, man, because I was hype on that man. And one thing I will not change is he absolutely knows football. Like I've listened to him, he knows it.
Yeah.
But boy, you better get your behind out there and find you some linebackers.
But you know, we got a kid in the backyard named Raylan Wilson, potential four-star outside linebacker going to Tallahassee Lincoln.
I thought that's what they grabbed.
That dude ain't committed to FSU.
I thought he committed.
No, man, but he needs to commit. They need to get him on board, man. They need to get him on board. He backyard guy from Tallahassee.
That's a layup.
Make it happen.
Absolutely make that happen. Then you can post whatever pictures you want out of your closet. I don't even care. I don't care. Post all the pictures you want to. And furniture just better sit down for one.
All right, man. I can't do this furniture talk right now. Okay. We got plenty of time, plenty of misses for the furniture right. Before we get there.
You're right. But let's go. But we are top. Defense is where it's at right now. We talked about how good this offensive line can be. Let me ask you this season, right? Do you feel like this will be, I don't want to say a strength because that's too high a praise. But I mean, can you see it really being just not something we talk about? Not something that we have to deal with.
I think this offensive line is going to keep making strides towards being good. I think that it might be some games. Like, I think the Clemson game. I think the Florida game. Florida got a really good defensive line. Who else can I think of? Maybe.
These comments are hilarious, man. I might die. Wayne say, Odell a friend, man. But he better get us some. All right, man.
I've told you I'm not doing it, bro.
I'm not discussing it. All right.
So what was I about to say? Man, y'all done broke up my train of thought. Wayne
said he's a longtime friend, but he gotta go. Hey, man, I'm about to die.
Wayne not gonna be invited back to the fishing hole next time he keeps going on like this.
If he stayed out the fishing hole and went to some more of these players' houses, we wouldn't have this problem. But anyway, all right, listen. Okay, so you were talking about how solid this offensive line going to be and how great it ain't going to be no issue. We're going to be good.
I think the offensive line will be a strength of the team. I think that's one of the one positions, honestly, that I think has probably done a fairly job of not having attrition at offensive line. We haven't had a lot of attrition at offensive line. Like a lot of the guys that we recruited, we kind of kept them, and a lot of guys haven't left and went grad transfer. You know what I'm saying? So I feel pretty good about that. I think that they played pretty good last year. We got to take that into account. They did play pretty good last year. I think other than when you play, so I'm looking at the schedule right now. I mean, UNC gonna be tough. They got a halfway decent defensive line. Clemson got a halfway decent defensive line. NC State defensive line is really good. Miami defensive line is really good. Florida defensive line really good. Yep. So that's probably five games that you could possibly get beat in the offensive line, defensive line. You don't have a favorable matchup in those games. So we'll see. I think they're gonna be the strength of the team, though. The whole team. I think they're going to be strength of the whole team.
They'll be the best unit?
Yeah. I think the offensive line will be the best unit on the team this year. Now, that's not saying a lot because it's a lot of bad units on this team.
Well, that's all I'm going to say. I say I think quarterback's going to be the best unit. I think quarterback could be the best unit. I'm not sure if I can give it to the offensive line. But I do think they will be at a place where we won't have to worry about them. And that's kind of where I want to get to the point where I don't need to every week, hopefully this offensive line can hold up. You know what I mean? I think once we get past that place where our offensive line is being questioned every week, you know what I mean, going into it, then I think we're in a good place. And that's kind of what I'm hoping we see from the offensive line. And I believe that's what we will see. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So 2020, I mean, we kind of talked about it and we dove into, you know, you talked about North Carolina State and so on and so forth. I mean, we talk about potential upsets. A lot of people have pointed to that Notre Dame game. Have said, question is why?
Well, Notre Dame did lose a lot on the offensive line. They did lose their quarterback. So I feel like that's the reason why people feel optimistic about Notre Dame. I feel like it's a winnable game. First game of the season. I feel like it's a winnable game. You know, I want to do a more of a deep dive watching it.
As the season gets closer, we'll definitely break it down. I mean, more. But I mean, my question has been when I look at the timeline a lot of times, and I say, you know, my comment for the podcast because I'm really trying to figure out what is everybody seeing from Florida State that makes them feel like we are that much better. Or we are better than Notre Dame just because of what they lost. I mean, if we're just talking where each program is right now, we said this is probably going to be one of the most least talented Florida State teams that we've seen in a long time.
Right.
And so you're telling me one of the most least talented teams that we've seen in Florida State in a while is going to beat a Notre Dame program that has been built that seems to, you know, be in the top 10 every single year.
Right.
It's hard for me to get to that place from what we've talked about. You know what I mean? From what we've talked about and what we said this team is going to be. And nothing that I saw in the spring game made me feel like, oh, nah, we back. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to beat Notre Dame. I mean, I know we talked about winnable games and we talked about some upsets. Notre Dame ain't the upset that I'm seeing, in my opinion.
Really? You don't think so? No.
I don't think so. I would say Florida. Here's the thing. Emory Jones is cheeks.
I don't know. I can't. If he wins that job, if he wins that job,
he's gonna win the job. I think they're gonna give it to him just out of loyalty for the moment.
Okay, but if he wins the job, that means Mullen thinks he can play.
No, that means Mullen thinks he ain't got no other option. What other option does he have besides Emory Jones?
Oh, has Mullen put a bad offense together? And what time in college football have Mullen put a bad offense together, bro? I don't think
he's had. Look at who his quarterbacks have been though. When has he had a quarterback?
We used to call Kyle Trask.
Yeah, but Kyle was a senior who improved a lot. Like Kyle wasn't bad. Like Kyle was bad at that time, but I mean, We clearly saw him take steps.
He got good football out of Felipe Franks, bro. Felipe Franks was a good player under Dan Mullen, bro.
Yeah, and I don't think Felipe Franks was really good at all. I don't think Emory Jones was very good at all. I agree with what you're saying. I'm just saying Emory Jones is real bad. Like, we've seen Emory Jones now for 4 years. Emory Jones is, what has it been, 3 years since we've seen him? And every time he come in the game, he always look bad.
But you
they don't let him do nothing but run the ball, and when he throw it, it's a pick. Like,
but you know, he's not very good. But you know Muller's going to put an offense around him that's going to bring out his strengths, and that they're going to be decent on offense, bro. You know that. Like, you don't have to question that, bro. Some coaches just got to give the benefit of the doubt to them, bro. You ain't got to like him. I don't like Mullen. I think his pants too big and his joy is happy. Like, I got to give him that. I got to give him, man, that he going to put a fucking decent offense together.
He be looking nasty out in these streets.
He going to wear a big-ass overcoat and big-ass khakis.
He be looking nasty.
And Jordan shoes that he won't tie up. But still, The man is gonna put a good offense together, bro. You know he's gonna put
Speaking of nasty outfits, did you see your goat? Did you see the goat yesterday on the timeline, Michael Jordan? Did you see Michael Jordan? That was a nasty outfit. That was a nasty outfit that man had on.
Jordan back then had to carry Nike, the NBA, Gatorade, Hanes. He was basically carrying the whole stock market back then, bro. He had to have pants to fit everything in, bro. I'm tired of y'all on Jordan, bro.
Nah, man. Hold on. Where that picture at? So we can show that for those who didn't see that picture yesterday.
You're going off on a tangent, right?
I am on a tangent. We were talking about nasty dresses, and I was just saying, listen, George is a goat, but God, boy, that was a nasty outfit.
My whole point is, you know Mullen's going to put together a good offer.
I don't know if you can do. I think I don't think you can find. Listen, he has done a good job of finding magic from bad quarterbacks. It's a gift he's done. I just don't know if you.
So what makes you think he won't do it this year? What makes you think he won't do it this year?
I just think I think at some point your luck runs out.
Okay.
I think at some point your luck runs out. You got to look at it and say, I ain't gonna be able to turn Kyle Trask into Kyle Trask. I'm not gonna be able to do it. Like it works sometimes. I just don't know. I've seen a lot of Emory Jones, but you make a very good point when you say he was able to get play out of Felipe Franks.
I mean, he got good play out of Felipe Franks, man. I mean,
yeah, but Felipe Franks was still like he got good play, but Felipe Franks was still booed at home.
Yeah, and he still got good play out of him. Nobody's saying Felipe Franks is good. I'm not saying Felipe Franks is good. I'm saying you know that Mueller's gonna put a top 25 offense together. You know that. Like you don't have to
with Emory. Oh man. No,
okay.
Man.
I mean, we're gonna be having this conversation going into that game. Like, damn, man, Florida really putting up points with Emory Jones, man. He did a good job. We're gonna be having this conversation. And then
I'll admit to being wrong. I just can't see it from Emory.
Well, and I think the other dude, Richardson, is actually better.
I do, but I don't think Richardson gonna play.
Well, let's see.
I think there's a certain, in other words, you can't lose. Who do they don't have a third quarterback, do they? Because that's what I'm saying. I don't think you can afford to lose Emory. I think if Richardson starts, there's no way in the world. No way in the world Emory stays.
Bro, I'm convinced that they're gonna put a good offense together, bro. Like, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how that's gonna manifest itself, bro. I just feel like they're gonna put a fucking good offense together, bro.
I mean, listen, the statistics are you right. The statistics are bearing out that you're more likely right. He gonna have Emory Jones in the Heisman contention. I get, you know what I mean? Like it is what it is. I ain't gonna be able to say nothing about it. I'm seeing a lot of people, man, say, like agree. Notre Dame, because it's the first game of the season, they losing a lot, got a new quarterback or whatever. And I'm like, man, I watched Boise State come in here with a true freshman dude. They never played a college game right out of high school, walk right in here and beat us in Tallahassee with the team that I believe had way more talent than this one.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, so you know what I mean? Like, it's hard for me to look in. Now you could say, well, one of them was coached by Willie or whatever, and he was ass. All right, cool. I'm just telling you, we watched a more talented team with a freshman quarterback walk right in here in the Tallahassee and beat us. So the idea that you know, Notre Dame, who is a top 10 program every year, is going, you know, and usually in national championship contention, is going to somehow have that big of a fall off to where they lose to one of the worst Florida State teams ever. It's hard right. for me to wrap my head around it. I understand it's the first game of the season. I understand it's the you got a potential upset and so on and so forth. They can be new quarterback, all this good stuff. All right, cool. Listen, I always want us to win. I hope so. I just don't believe that's the upset that we think it may be. Florida may not be it either too, because you know by the end of this season, you're right. Emory Jones may be in the Heisman contention because he don't turn.
Well, I'm not saying he's gonna be in. I'm not saying he's gonna be in the Heisman contention. I'm not saying that. I'm not calling Emory Jones great. I'm saying I know Mueller's gonna squeeze out fucking 35 points a game.
Yeah, I'm just saying. That ain't a bad argument. I agree with you. You know what I mean? I agree 100%. He probably is gonna get the most out of Emory Jones, but you know, I don't know. I don't know who else will be an upset. You ain't beating Clemson. They're gonna hang 100. I don't know, and then
another thing you gotta look at Florida got a really good defensive line. They're gonna have a really good defensive line. Like, they had picked up a lot of good guys the last 2 years, and now those guys are a year old or 2 years older. So that defense line they're gonna have this year is gonna be really, really good.
So I mean what makes you excited about the upcoming season? What has you excited about the upcoming season?
I think the offensive line is something that we can all hang our hats on this year. I think we're going to watch an offensive line that's going to do some mauling, that's going to have some really good moments this year. Mm-hmm. I think the offense in general, I think we can get excited about the offense, man. I really do. I'm not saying that to be, you know, a homer or nothing like that. Y'all know me. I'm always going to tell you how I really feel about stuff, you know. But I think the offense is going to give you some really good moments this year. And I think we'll be – and I do think we'll pull an upset that we don't expect. I think we have a – I think we will have like one of those Notre Dame games like we had last year. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So I mean, okay. Yes, I do believe they're gonna be able to pull an upset off of somebody who nobody thought they could beat or whatever the case might be. I do believe that. Right. You know, they'll outcoach somebody. I'm just not sure who that's supposed to be.
It's tough.
When I look at the schedule, there's only but so many upsets. I mean, it's like when you look at the schedule, right? Outside of Notre Dame, Florida, Clemson, who else is, a guaranteed loss? Are you looking at it as a guaranteed loss? I mean, I think they beat Miami. Listen, I mean, they should beat Miami this year, baby. I doubt it. But, you know, hey, would that be an upset if they beat Miami?
Bro, Rhett Lashley owns Fuller, bro. He's going to score at will again this year, bro. Again,
what I'm saying is, would Miami be upset?
And another thing about Miami, like, and I'm not saying this shit to be funny, but I think that freshman quarterback they got might actually be better than Derrick King. I mean, he's gonna start, but I'm saying, like,
even so, if that means they're gonna be good for years to come, got it
right. So, and if Rhett Lashley, if we got Adam Fuller, we know what Rhett Lashley does, Adam Fuller, like. When he was at SMU, he put 50 points on him. So he put 50 points on him last year. It's a good chance he's going to probably put 48 to 50 on him again this year. So let's just, you know, I'll be at the game, though.
Hey, man,
so,
you're not making me very excited about this.
No, but season. What I
– So this point, then, Clemson going to hang 100. Miami hanging 50. Florida going to have a high-end trophy winning quarterback, and they're going to beat us. I mean, you know what? I guess I got to get on board with Notre Dame. Got to be the upset there.
And then
all NC right, State, Notre Dame got to be it.
NC State's better than us.
NC State's not better than us. I'm not buying into that. They better than us. I know. I'm just
all right, bro. Shit. I'm about to start going on these draftable players they got.
I'm just talking. I said that last year when we were going through the schedule. Listen, I don't feel very, like I said.
But I think what you look at, though, honestly, I think.
So where are the wins coming? I mean, I told you what makes you excited about the season. You've given me four losses at this point. Wow. I need you to find me a win or something. I mean, outside of the offensive line looking better, this they got to win games.
I think you probably can find a way to beat NC State. That's the most winnable upset game I think you're gonna have is the NC State game.
See, hold on, pause it. Before we go in, Wayne made a very good point. Randy Shannon gonna game plan that game versus Rhett Lashley.
So y'all think Randy Shannon is a good defensive coordinator?
Hey man, I'm grasping at straws, man.
Do y'all want to have a Randy Shannon at defensive coordinator conversation? Because that shit's not going to end well. I can tell y'all that right now. Randy Shannon is not a good defensive coordinator. He's a good guy, good man, good recruiter. Probably don't want him game playing against spread offenses. It's probably not an ideal situation for you.
we're in trouble. All right, so Sam's going to find us these 7 wins that he told us we're going to get.
I'm gonna find that later on in some other episodes, but I'm just saying.
No, like we joking around. I can't.
I gotta look at it's some other stuff. I gotta look at like okay. I don't think we're gonna beat North Carolina in North Carolina. All right, is Louisville gonna be considered an upset when we beat Louisville? Because I think we're gonna beat Louisville
after they beat us by 100 last year. I would say
I know that's why it's gonna be an upset.
Yeah, listen to me. Every game that we win will be an upset. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't know which games we'll be favored in. Let's honestly look at it, right? If we really take it and look at the spreads and what we did last year versus what we got this year, how many games will we be favored in?
This year?
Yeah. How many games will we be favored in? Looking at the schedule, how many games?
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. I see four and five possible.
Okay. Which one of those?
So Jackson State.
I got that one.
Wait,
Syracuse.
Wake Forest, I think you'd be favorite. Ooh, Syracuse, okay. I think you're favorite. UMass, your favorite. And four. I think Louisville.
Oh, you think we'll be favorite against Louisville?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, that means everything else is an upset.
Everything else is an upset.
That means everything else is upset. So listen, I can agree. I can get down with that. You know what I mean? Like I think we can get down with that. Somebody just said BC. You're not gonna be favored against BC.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, we definitely won't get favored against BC. I think Q's, Wake Forest, Louisville, Jacksonville State, and UMass.
You're playing Boston College after Miami in Boston College.
In Boston College.
In November.
Mm-hmm. Boston College is giving us trouble when we had good teams, like real good teams.
That's tough one. They got a good quarterback too.
Yeah, that's gonna be tough, man. They've done some really good recruiting. They rebuilt that team. They got good coaches. I don't know, man. That's gonna be a little tough. I don't know. He said, you know, we don't have problems with NC State until last. I kind of agree with that. But NC State also is as much improved. Listen, man. Until we can kind of get into the season, I'm gonna reserve a lot of this, you know, judgment for until we see what happens against Notre Dame. Because I said, you know, we talked about it maybe a few episodes ago. What I'm looking forward to is not really wins and losses. Really score is going to be, do I think this team is headed in the right direction? Right. And if we can see, all right, you know what I mean? In other words, they hang tough with Notre Dame, but they lose a nail bite.
Right.
That's improvement in my opinion. They go out there and handle Jacksonville State the way they should handle an FCS opponent. Like they absolutely should handle, like Jacksonville State was a loss before Jordan Travis appeared in the game. So, you know what I mean? Like they were ready to lose to Jacksonville State. So, if you go out there and you handle Jacksonville State, it ain't never a game. You know what I mean? You're able to play some second and third string guys. That's improvement. You know what I mean?
Right.
Same thing with UMass. It should be the same thing. That should be a 60-0 game. We got fans coming in taking filling punts. Like at that point, if that's not what's happening in those games, then that's when you can look and say, I don't know, we headed in the right direction. Again, Louisville. Like in other words, it shouldn't be blowouts. I shouldn't look at a game against Louisville, North Carolina State, Boston College, Wake Forest, and we out here getting beat 30-0.
Right.
Or we don't score no points in the second half. Or you know what I mean? A lot of the things we saw this year. If we can get through this season and we're competitive in every game. We're able to pull off some upsets. We're able to see consistency out of the offense. Where four quarters they're able to score points, you know what I mean? Not for the first scripted drive, then it's a lull, then we kind of get a good field position, so we score some more points.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe right after half we can generate another off, you know what I mean? If we can show that our offense is consistent, you know what I mean? Like coaches are making good decisions, defense is at least looks like they know what they're doing. Those are things I'll look at and say, all right, they only had 5 wins. But they was in every game and they looked like they headed in the right direction. I'll take those 5. You know what I'm saying? Like that, that's kind of how
I think they find a way to win 6 or 7 games. I think they find a way. I'm just saying I cannot favor them in a game right now in May. Right.
In May.
I can't favor them against NC State in May. I can't favor them against Boston College in May. That could change, like injuries happen. Hell, injuries might happen to us.
Right.
You know, but I just looking at that schedule, you talking about, think about that sandwich that weekend. You got Miami, Boston College, Florida. That's 3 games back to back to back. Like, that's a tough road. You going to get emotional for Miami.
No. You got Clemson, North Carolina State, Miami, Boston College, Florida.
Well, I feel like the Clemson game going to be over so fast, it's going to feel like a bye week.
You got 2 byes going into Clemson. You got 2 bye weeks going into Clemson because UMass is basically a bye week. You got 2 byes going into Clemson. Be somewhat competitive.
Yeah.
Just be for at least a half. I mean, you understand Clemson's coming in and you know Dabo is going to do his best to hang 100 because he mad. You know what I mean? Like, be competitive with Clemson. NC State, don't let Clemson beat you twice. You know what I mean? So, you know, NC State. Then you got, like you said, Miami, Boston College, Florida. It could really get out of hand, man. I think you better find them wins early in the season because that stretch I just named is tough, man.
Yeah, it is tough. That's a tough road to hoe. That's a tough road to hoe.
No, it absolutely is, man. I want to highlight this comment but I was told improvement wasn't the standard by our current AD. I was told 6 wins wasn't acceptable at FSU. Yes. However, I mean, I think they've learned that was dumb. That was dumb. We're rebuilding, and listen, 6 wins should never be the standard. It should never be acceptable at Florida State.
But they're gonna fire him
as a result of it. I mean, they just not. They're gonna have to look at it and say it is what it is.
I mean, we're having conversations like I don't know how to put this. Like, I mean, we know what this is. Like, you know, Willie had a shitty year, and you know, they, you know, took support staff away, and you know, was getting rid of people, and you know, they were putting shit, you know, they were putting shit together with duct tape and shit. But you know, with Mike, he had a shitty year, and they hired more support staff people, so they're gonna give him every opportunity to succeed. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think you should give a head coach everything he possibly needs to succeed, if not give him more. You know what I'm saying? I think Mike Norvell is going to be here for four years, at least 4 years. I think he's guaranteed 4 years if he wants to work the whole 4 years. Are we going to get to year four and are we still looking at four to five losses? I think that's when you start getting into a territory of, hey, man, we've built this facility. We got a new AD. We got a new president. We need to start over and do something else. I don't know. I think it'd be bad to fire a coach after 3 years. After you fired a coach after, what, a year and a half?
Two. Yeah, a year and a half.
Well, it wasn't 2 years. I mean, it was a year and a half. So, you know, some people have to jump. You know, bigger hurdle. Some people have to jump a smaller hurdle. I don't make the society rules in life, man. I just live in this fucking world. You know what I'm saying? I don't make the rules, bro. Like, if it was up to me, everything would be fair, you know, but that shit ain't up to me. It ain't all fair. You know what I'm saying? So I think Mike's going to lose 5 to 6 games this year. I think next year he's going to lose another 5 to 4 games next year. I think by then you have a complete roster with, I think, decent enough, good enough players. So if they do make a move, I think you're in a better place fundraising-wise. I think you're in a better place AD-wise. I think you're in a better place booster structure-wise. I think you're in a better place with facilities. So if you do have to make a move, you can. If he decides that he doesn't want to work anymore for whatever reason, you're in a better place than what you was when you got rid, when Jimbo left. And you're in a better place than what you was when Willie left, personally. So this isn't about winning national championships right now. This is about becoming a competent football program and becoming a competent athletic program.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's what this is about.
Right. They're currently narrowing down on the president. I think we saw a report yesterday that they've got their four guys or whatever it is. I think they got interviews coming in this week. Great. You know what I mean? Like, get the back. We talked about it. Get the behind the scenes fixed. Yeah. Infrastructure in place. The football only facility is getting built. Like, get all that stuff. Get everything you need, man. So that if Mike Norvell can't be the person to bring it around, whoever your next coach is walking into a very good situation. But right. I mean, I'm not saying he's not, because what I will tell you is, you know, that 2022 class, man, is really shaping up to be something special. And if you can get a special class, if you can keep this class that's already looking good now, if you can, like, you know, put some polishing touches on it, that could be the class that gets, you know what I mean, that gets you over the hump. You know what I mean? Like, I think you got a lot of, we talked about it last episode, a lot of day one starters. And that's good. That's a very good thing, because those are immediate impact players. Duffy looks real good. You know what I mean? Like, we've seen his highlights, strong ball placement looks good.
Right.
I mean, that's a big pickup. Hunter is still embarrassing people every single week. Like, offense and defense just embarrassing people. So, yeah, you know, keep rounding out that class. You got your tackle now. Get you some more. You know what I mean? Keep going. Keep building. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Keep building.
Yeah.
And hopefully, I'm hoping Norvell is the guy, man. I really am. I'm hoping Norvell is the guy who was able to turn this thing around and get us to a national championship. I will tell you, he hadn't set it off in the right direction from what I'm seeing. You know what I mean? I haven't seen nothing from him this early.
I mean, but they are giving him the support that he needs to get it turned around. And that's what you should do, right? Like, I mean, that's what you should do. So, I mean, you have to send a message that you're going to be all in and trying to get this thing turned around. So, I mean, you know, I get the frustration with the Willie versus Norvell talk, but I mean, a lot of that stuff is, for me, is like, a lot of that stuff is trolling. But this is what it is. I mean, it's a shit show. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to clean this shit up by by firing another coach after 2 years or 3 years. You need to keep a coach there for 4 years and get your behind the scenes fixed. You know, I was in favor of doing that with Willie. You know, get the behind the scenes, get the stuff behind the scenes fixed before you fire him, so you can hire the right coach next time around. You know, but I think they learned a lesson. You know, I keep saying that. I think they learned their lesson. Everything they do, they've been doing so far, shows to me they learned their lesson. I'm probably gonna cut this part off on the podcast, but I'm gonna ask you, what you think about the little youth camp thing?
It's all good PR.
You think so?
I think it's all. I mean, it's all. Man, listen, you gotta. Hey, remember I told you, you gotta find wins. You gotta find wins everywhere. Just find wins.
I gotta be funny, man, because I don't listen to Norville. Talking to the kids, you know, he do that little yelling thing. He be doing like, I lost my man, you know, thing like that. Like, like dude, 7-year-olds, dude. Like, I mean,
it's his, you know, shtick, what I'm saying? It's his shtick, man.
It's kind of cringy. Like, you watching it, because it's like, bro, you talking to a bunch of 9-year-olds, bro. Like,
they don't care.
My mamas and daddies don't make them come out here because the mamas and daddies are more excited about it than they are, right?
Yeah, like, no, you know, they definitely want the photo op. Yeah. It's just good PR, man.
I know, but it's just PR. They don't care. It's funny when you see him yelling at them kids. I'm like, no, real, like, calm the hell down,
it's
dude. Like,
it's 9 o'clock in the morning. You got yelling at some 9-year-olds. They sleeping. Yeah, they sleeping. They don't care to be here. They mama made them come.
I tell you, dude. When I was young, I went to like these basketball camps, man. And you know, the best person I ever heard talk at a camp, like seriously, no joke, John Calipari, dude.
Oh, see, I bet that's a good one. Yeah.
John Calipari tells the best story. And you know he made these fucking stories up, right? You know that these stories are not true. But like
he tells us good lies, yeah.
Yeah, but you know the stories ain't true, but he was so damn funny, dude. Like he told us one story. I was 12 years old. Yeah, 12 years old. And he telling the story, he's like, I used to be just like you guys, you know, but of course I'm short, I'm white. And I couldn't jump very high, so I thought I was gonna be the next Larry Bird, right? So he was like, I would go play the game. I act like I put 5 seconds on the clock. Who all does that? Who's in the backyard putting 5 seconds on the clock? So you know, everybody like, yeah, me, everybody. So he's like, I go up there, I dribble to the right, shape back to the left, come back to the right, defender falls down, jumps up, shoot. But I missed.
Nah.
And he was like, but I got fouled. Library fouled me. So now I'm at the free throw line. So he was just, but he told really good stories, but he wasn't over the top. But it's like when I watched Norville, they made me think about that. Like, damn, Norville, like, just tell a funny story, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, tell a funny story.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. You know, it's funny. It's funny you talk about good camps. I took my son to Christian Leitner camp in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And that may have been the worst camp I've ever seen. Like Christian Leitner was not built for that. Like he wasn't built for the teaching kids basketball. You know what I mean? It was like girls and boys or whatever. And so he was like, all right, we're just gonna start with dribbling. And so the kids couldn't dribble. He looked at the parents. Your kids can't dribble? What are y'all doing out here? I was like, okay, this ain't going to go well. This ain't going to end well.
Right.
At all. You know what I mean?
Okay, I want to ask this question. Ronnie, like, what, like, bro, all you do is criticize. Can you come up with some answers instead of criticism? What answers do y'all want exactly? I guess that's my question. What answers are we looking for? Like,
I don't, first of all, let me address this one. I don't think anybody is criticizing anything. When the program is doing well, we will tell you how well the program is doing. And when the program is not, we will tell you that it's not. I mean, there's no argument to this fact of this is one of the worst FSU teams that we've seen as far as talent wise in a long time. I can't change that. I can't fix that. Nothing. We've talked about it. You're going to have to recruit better. You're going to have to recruit better. And we talked about the 2022 class. That gives you a lot of hope because if you can hold that class together, that's great. But this team right here is going up against teams that last year beat us by 50. Like, right. Let's just look at it. You know what I mean? Like, just looking at that, at what happened, Wake Forest probably would have beat us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that just what it is, right? Louisville did hang half a hundred on us. Miami hung half a hundred on us.
Right.
Florida would have hung half a hundred on us. Clemson also would have. So at this point, we aren't a program that can we can just blindly say, hey, we're great. Because we're not. I'm not going to come in here, Ronnie, and lie to you. Sam ain't going to come in here and lie to you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't do you any good. Right. It makes you feel good in the moment. But then you got to go out there and watch this team go out here and lose. I always want Florida State to win. Sam always want Florida State to win. It makes for a much better podcast. It makes for a lot more enjoyment. We the best time ever. We had, forgot his name. On he's like, he covered the Florida State, the national championship team. A few episodes ago. And he was like, man, it was the greatest. It was the greatest time ever. We would love that. But right now, we're not there. Right. So there's no way for us to look at this and say, hey, man, we're doing this great stuff. We're doing these great works. They are fixing the behind the scenes. They are fixing a lot of things that – but I can't come in here and make up positives where there isn't any. You know what I mean?
Right.
He doesn't know what there's one of the worst things to see actually play. I'm not – again, we're not saying the team is what we're saying talent-wise,
it's not
to bottom, they are not as talented as other teams Florida State has had. They may go out there and win 10 games. And if so, great. That means Mike and whoever and all the other coaches have put together a wonderful – have done an amazing job with a lot of – with not very much talent. But doesn't mean that this team is talented.
No. First of all, let's just say this. This is very simple stuff right here, dude. At any game of any week in college football, I'm not talking about NFL, college football. College football and NFL are two totally different games, right? In the NFL, everybody's a pro, right? In the NFL, everybody's a pro. So in the NFL, if you got a good quarterback in the NFL, you got a chance to win every game on your schedule.
Absolutely.
Regardless. If you don't have a good quarterback, you still have an outside shot of winning the game. That's why the spreads are -7, -5, -3 in the NFL. Those are toss-up games. Every week is a toss-up game. Okay? Jacksonville was the worst team, 1-15. Jacksonville lost most of their games by 7 and 8 points.
Right.
Right. That means they was in the game. All right? Mm-hmm. In college football, particularly college football, the best team with the most talent wins every week. This is not like it's not. You might split hairs. You might have an upset from time to time, but 85% of the time, the best team wins that game. All right. So when you get into injuries, how deep are you as a team? How many good players do you have on the team? Do you have the best quarterback in college football? You got the best college quarterback in your conference. Do you have a Mario Williams in your defensive line? Do you have a Jadeveon Clowney in your defensive line? Like, do you have guys that wreck game plans? Do you have a Dominican Sue that might be worth 6-7 games, right?
Dalvin Cooks.
Right, a Dalvin Cook that can change 4 or 5 games, right? But for But there isn't a player on this team
that you have to scheme against.
That you got to say, this guy can wreck my game plan and completely win a game. He can be Peter Bulwer and get 6 sacks in one
Jalen
game.
Jalen Ramsey.
He could be Jalen Ramsey.
Won the Miami game. Yeah, absolutely. One of the most dominant games ever against Miami.
Right.
Like that guy was a first-round pick for a reason.
Do you
don't have that guy on this
Do you run. Have Jameis Winston who can will you a game against Notre Dame? Will you a game against, Auburn, some of these teams? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and you got a lot better coaches now. So – these coaches are not going to allow you to just out-athlete them. If that was the case, Florida State in 2017 with Willie would have out-athleted people.
Yeah.
They couldn't. Brian Burns couldn't out-athlete teams. You know what I'm saying? Like, Cam Akers couldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? So the best team with the best offensive line, defensive line, quarterback, that you go from those three and you work your way outside. All right? If you got the best D-line, the best offensive line, and the better quarterback, going into that game, you probably got a 75% chance of fucking winning. Period. Point blank.
No, again, what I'm saying is it's still to be seen. It's a new team.
There's nothing to see because I'm not saying that to be like Debbie Downer, but if Jermaine Johnson was so great at Georgia and his first round pick and his top 10 pick, top 5 pick, he would have played. He would have not just played. He'd have been starting. He would still be there. Okay. Mackenzie Milton. If Mackenzie Milton could have beat out the guy at UCF, he would still be at UCF. All right. Like, I'm not saying that they're not good football players. I'm saying that those teams didn't feel like this guy has to be on the field for me. These right. are not guys that have to be on the field. I'm you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's not knocking Mackenzie Milton. It's not knocking Jermaine Johnson. I'm not knocking them. I'm saying, like, even the guy Parchment. Go listen to the Nolcast. They will tell you, we'll be lucky if Parchment has 1,000 yards this season. We'll be lucky. Well, what a great receiver, like a great T. Higgins, Jerry Jeudy, Donovan Smith, Amari Cooper, 1,000 yards, that's gimme. They wake up in the morning, play a 8-game, 10-game schedule, and they're going to get 1,000 yards. All right? Those are elite talents. You know what I'm saying? Parchment may not be that, but he may be better than anything we've had in the last 3 years.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, we're going to have to see a lot, right? But yeah. What I'm saying is, on May 16th, what we've seen in the spring, what we've seen last year, is all we can go based off of.
Right.
And so when we see something new, I'm sure we'll come. We aren't going to come here and tell you how terrible this team is if they go out there and you know, route Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just not, you know what I mean? Like, they go out there and they handle Notre Dame, they look better, and so on and so forth. Great.
Yeah.
But at the end of the – but, again, I can't tell you what I don't see and what we don't see.
Right.
I'm not into hope trafficking. It's not – you know what I mean? Like, and I feel like, you know, a lot of people want us to kind of hope traffic a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, we this and we that and we should do – you know, we're going to be much better, much improved and this and the third. But if I don't believe we're going to be that much improved, then I'm not going to tell you we'll be there. If we are, great.
Right.
You know what I mean? We'll go out here and enjoy the ride. And we'll talk about how much improved the offensive line is and how much improved the quarterback is and how Mackenzie Milton was great, so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, I can't tell you what we haven't seen and what we don't know. What I do know is when you say, I don't think you can say that this is the worst FSU team we got to see them play first, I'm talking about from a talent perspective.
Yeah.
I'm not talking like from a – stars, if you had to rank players in the ACC, let's just take the ACC and you went to quarterback. How many quarterbacks would be ahead of your quarterback? How many running backs would be ahead of your running back? How many wide receivers would be ahead of your wide receivers? How many offensive linemen would be ahead of your offensive linemen? And so on and so forth. So as you go down that list, I can't say that I'm picking Florida State's anything at this point ahead of anybody else's.
Right.
At any position.
And another thing,
that's not us being negative with Florida State. That's just the state of where the program is. We are in a rebuild. We're going to have to go through this rebuild. It's going to be bad. It's going to suck. We're going to feel bad about it. We're going to be terrible. And when we come out on the other side and the program has been rebuilt and they've gotten behind the scenes and they got these top five recruiting classes and we back rolling, then trust me, everything will sound completely different. I love to hype up Florida State. I love the life of Florida State. I just can't.
I think that, like, just set like, do you think Jermaine Johnson is better than Brian Burns? Do you think he's a top 15 pick?
Top 15, no. I do think Jermaine Johnson may be pretty good, though.
Right, but I'm saying, do you think he's going to get 10 sacks this season?
I can see it.
Okay, I don't see that.
I actually feel very good about Jermaine Johnson. From what I've seen from him in the spring game, he looked very good. He was going against all tackles, but he did look very explosive.
My thing is the defensive tackles are not good enough to even allow him to get that many damn sacks.
I can't argue.
You know what I'm saying? I'm saying like all this shit had to work together. All this had to work together. Because to have a good pass rush, you have to stop people from running the football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do y'all think we're going to be able to stop teams running football with Robert Cooper and another guy? But that don't mean you can't win games. It just means that you can't be favored.
It doesn't mean that we can't win games. We very well may beat Louisville, NC State, Notre Dame, Wake Forest, UMass, Jacksonville State. That's 6 wins right there in NC State. You know what I mean? That's just 7 wins. You can very well beat those teams, get the 7 wins, and that's great. it didn't change what we just said, what we said today.
Right.
The team still may not be talented. They still may win those games. I think that's kind of where it gets a little lost. The team cannot be talented and still win games. They can still, they cannot be talented and still be one of the worst FSU teams ever. Like, I'm not saying they're going 0-12. I don't think that's a possibility. What I'm saying is, though, I'm not looking at improvement as wins and losses. I'm looking at improvement as improvement. Whatever I see that's different from last year, I'm going to say, David, you know what I mean, that looks better than last year, we're going to say they improved.
Yeah. Well, and that's I think that's a great show. I'm out of the wrap there. It's 11 o'clock. Instead of 30 minutes longer than I wanted to.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. Listen, as always, Ronnie, everybody, keep listening, man. I love you to be here when things turn around, man. When stuff looks different, because I, you know, again, go back and find the episode. It wasn't, you know, on YouTube. Go to SoundCloud, find that episode of us after North Carolina State. I mean, after the North Carolina win, and just like again, we were all hyped, motivated, but one thing we said was, let's hope this carries on the next week. Next week we got beat by 50.
Right.
You know what I mean, like. Yeah. That happened. I didn't, you know what I mean? We came out here and we hyped it up. We lied. We talked about how great it is. We talked about what a great game playing this, that, and the third, and how they did it, how he out coached. Old dude, I can't think of his name.
Right? Matt Brown.
Matt Brown. We also talked about out coaching Matt Brown ain't necessarily a feat. And then we also said, let's get this. And then we also said, take this momentum and have a transfer in the next week. Next week, they got beat by 50 to a Louisville team that was really bad.
Right. So
that happened. I can't fix that. So yeah. Again,
they call us the 3-6 mafia. They call us the 3-6 mafia for a reason, bro. Like, we got beat in games. It was not good. It was bad. It was
definitely bad. I don't rank players. I look at what they do on the field. Okay.
Okay. So I mean, listen. Is Akeem Dent showing you anything? Did he show you anything? I mean, Akeem Dent.
What they've shown you on the when you say you don't rank players, you've seen what they do on the field. What I'm saying is, all these players have played. You know what I mean? We've seen them play for Florida State. Most of them we've seen play for Florida State.
Yeah.
It's
not really a hating thing, but
anyway, listen. We appreciate you guys, man. Keep listening. Keep being here. We've talked about this a few times now.
I mean, nobody is hating on how many touchdowns did the defense need to give up last year? How many wide open guys running wide ass open last year that people need to watch and see that? I came out last year before the season. I said, Alan Fuller, when you watch his tape and watch him, that you know he's not a good defensive coordinator. He shouldn't be defensive coordinator at Florida State, right? Now everybody want to fire Alan Fuller. Well, I said that last year. And people called me a hater. Say you got to watch him play first. There's more than enough evidence that Adam Fuller is a bad defensive coordinator. There was more than enough evidence before they took one snap last year. You know what I'm saying?
Ronnie said there are no great, and I only want to point this out because Ronnie said there are no great teams in the ACC this year. From what I've seen, everybody is about on the same level. But Ronnie, you just told us that we can't make any decisions until we see them play the game. So how can we say there are no good teams in the ACC when we haven't seen those teams play either? Again, I understand what you want to feel good. You want us to be able to say how much better we are going to be than North Carolina State and how much better we are going to be. And what I'm saying is we can only go based on the evidence that we have seen. And what we have seen is that North Carolina State beat us. Last year, Louisville beat us last year. Again, that doesn't mean they're gonna beat us this year. That doesn't mean they're gonna beat us the year after that. But what we know right now is these teams whooped our behinds.
I mean, at the end of the day, go back and watch those games last year. We got blew off the field. Like, I'm not saying this to be funny. Like
we did. That's what happened.
Off the field. Like, you got blew off the field. Like, you had no chance in these games. Like. So this year, if you're telling me we're going to be in all 10, 11 games and we're going to win 6 of them?
Cool.
If you really want to get honest about how good these ACC teams is, go look at the draft. NC State put plenty of defensive linemen, linebackers, and safeties in the NFL every year. Boston College do the same thing. Go look at Wake Forest. They had wide receivers drafted this year. I mean, go up and down the ACC. Players get drafted from the ACC, and they make Pro Bowls, and they have good NFL careers. The ACC Don't believe what you hear in the media about the ACC. The ACC is a top two, top three conference in college football. I don't care what anybody tell you. All right?
Look at the draft.
Look at the draft. The draft shows you that there's good football players in the ACC. Yep. Like, I don't understand that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Again, we can go back. We can literally be doing this all day. No, listen, we're going to get this out this time. No, for real, listen, we appreciate you guys, everybody. You know, it's fun, man. We enjoy doing it. It's fun to talk Florida State, man. We are hoping for the best. Again, click the subscribe button. Where's that? Nah, can't find my finger. Right, you know, somewhere over there. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button. Tell people. Hell, yell at Sam. You know what I mean? Tell them to stop starting fake charities. Whatever. I mean, you know what I mean? Stop starting
GoFundMes. None of that's true, bro.
None of that's true. No, man. But listen, man. We really do appreciate you guys, man, for rocking with us on this Sunday morning. Instagram, I send out the link. This whole episode will be up on Instagram tomorrow for those of y'all, you know. So if y'all on Instagram, follow us. I'll send out the link in a little bit. Facebook, we appreciate you guys.